Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call our meeting to order and note the presence of a quorum. Welcome to the Housing Development Corporation's board meeting of November 30th, 2023. I'd like the minutes to reflect the presence of a quorum. Item number two on our agenda is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on October 10th, 2023. And did I fail to mention, my name is Adolfo Carrion. I am the chair of the board and the commissioner of the New York City Department of Housing Preservation and Development. I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on October 10th, 2023.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Mergler. I need a second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Gould. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? With no opposition, the motion carries. We move to item number three of our agenda today, which is the president's report. And for that, I call on President Eric Enderlin.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Commissioner. I want to thank the board members for joining us today and welcome the partners who are also here with us. This will be our final board meeting in 2023, and as I reflect on all we've accomplished together this past year, I want to thank the HDC team for always rising to meet the challenge of the moment. While our mission remains the same, our role has expanded in recent years as we work together with our government and industry partners to ensure that as many New Yorkers as possible have a safe, affordable place to call home. With that, I'll turn to today's official business. Once again, we have a full agenda. After brief reports from the HDC board committees, we'll hear from Senior Vice President for Development, Lauren Connors, and Senior Vice President for Capital Markets, Tin Ru Lin, who are presenting jointly, given the length of their presentation, to seek your approval for several items that will enable us to fund the creation and preservation of affordable housing throughout the city. Notably, among those items for consideration is our first hotel to permanent affordable housing conversion of the JFK Hilton in South Jamaica. Vice President for Special Projects and Initiatives, Luke Schrey, will then seek your approval for an expansion of HDC's participation in the New York City Acquisition Fund. A truly innovative example of public-private partnership, NICAF, has been an enormously impactful resource for spurring the creation of affordable and supportive housing, resulting in more than 15,000 homes since its launch in 2006. NICAF is one of the strongest supporters of MWBE and nonprofit developers, helping us to serve an important equity goal as well. Next, our Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Kathy Bauman, will present for your approval the fiscal year 24 operating budget. Despite the challenging realities of the current environment, our teams have worked to ensure that HDC's financial position remains strong so that we can continue to advance the city's housing goals. As our work with partner agencies continues apace, we've seen commensurate growth of key departments. At the same time, all parts of the corporation have been stepping in to absorb the work of our expanding operations. And HDC hasn't been immune to the hiring challenges and turnover we see in the broader labor market and in the public sector as well. But through strategic hires in critical areas, we're making the necessary investments to increase our productivity and capacity and to protect the city's significant public investments well into the future. Kathy Bauman will also ask you to approve the annual property disposition report and to formally adopt HDC's mission statement. And finally, Lauren Connors will be back to seek your approval for a declaration of intent resolution for a proposed new affordable housing development in the Bronx. Before I conclude, also would like to make a brief announcement. Our Vice President for Administration, External Affairs, and Chief of Staff, Elizabeth Strojan, who you note is not with us today, will be departing HDC and indeed New York City to return home to take on a new role as Executive Director of the Louisville Metro Housing Authority in Kentucky. She's there as we speak. These past 7 years, Elizabeth has been instrumental in helping HDC navigate its growth and remains a tireless advocate for the resources we need from all levels of government to advance our affordable and public housing goals. Our loss is LMHA's gain, and on behalf of all of her colleagues at HDC, I want to thank Elizabeth for her leadership and extend our congratulations and best wishes on this exciting next chapter. I'll just say this personally, I think I probably spoke to Elizabeth 20 times a day, 7 days a week for the last 7 years, so it's a big loss to all of us, but it's great to have her in the industry and continuing the national work that she's done on policy and advocacy. And it's been incredible to work with her as well. They did a stand-up media event with the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky yesterday or earlier in the week. And you can see that online if you want to take a look. And we'll, I think most folks on staff know, but we're sending out an email as well. So she's all clear on that. With that, I'll turn back to our board chair, Commissioner Carrion, to take us through today's meeting. Commissioner?
Thank you, Eric. Let me just attach myself to your sentiments and those of the staff. Elizabeth Strojan is the consummate professional. I'm going to miss her wit and her sense of humor. And I told her early this morning that Louisville has no idea what's coming to them. It's going to be tremendous. And that's a housing authority that needs a lot of work. I saw the presser, and she was terrific, by the way.
Yeah.
Consummate professional. We're going to miss her. I want to say before we move on to the next item, also take privilege of the chair to, on behalf of the board, say thank you to you and to the team here. You guys are terrific. You're great partners to the housing agency here in New York City. You've had a terrific year. You know, I often talk about the banner year we've had, but it doesn't happen because of us. It happens because of both of us working together. So thank you so much and congratulations for a great, great year.
Thank you.
We move on now to item number four, which is the report of the Governance Committee. And for that, I will call on Harry Gould.
Cool. The Governance Committee met prior to this meeting, at which time there was a discussion of the hiring of the Director of Housing Coordination. No action is required of the members at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Gould, and we look forward to the arrival of that director. Moving on to item number five on our agenda, which is a report of the October 10th, 2023 and November 30th, 2023 Audit Committee meetings. Again, I call on Mr. Gould. Thank you.
The Audit Committee met on October 10th, 2023, at which time the corporation's external auditors, Ernst & Young, presented their audit plan for the annual audit of the corporation's 2023 financial statements. The members also reviewed the 2023 third quarter financials and other investment, debt, credit, and internal audit reports. Lastly, the members reviewed and approved the corporation's purchasing guidelines. The members also met prior to this meeting, at which time investment, debt, credit, and internal reports were reviewed, as well as the corporation's presentations to the rating agencies. The members also approved the fiscal year 2024 first quarter internal audit plan.
Thank you, Mr. Gould. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act and for the purposes of discussing the next items on our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee, which takes us into item number six on our agenda, which is approval of an authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bond 2023 series E and F, 2024 series A and B, approval of a co-managing underwriter, approval of a participation loan, amendments to 2016 series J supplemental resolution, and approval of mortgage loans. And for this, I call on Lauren Connors and Tim Lulin.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Please see the black line of the memorandum in front of you. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds 2023 Series E, 2023 Series F, 2024 Series A, and 2024 Series B in an amount not expected to exceed $794,500,000. The bonds, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds of the multifamily housing revenue bonds bond resolution, are expected to be used to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and or permanent financing of certain projects and other activities described as follows. The members are recommended to approve Sumitomo Mitsui Banking Corporation as co-manager for issuances of the corporation's open resolution, housing impact bond resolution for NYCHA financings, the multifamily secured mortgage revenue bond resolution, and standalone conduit debt. More information about this recommendation will be provided by Tenru Lin. In addition, the members are being asked to approve a second amendment to a supplemental resolution relating to the 2016 Series J bonds initially issued on December 22nd, 2016 for the crossing at Jamaica Station high-rise development. Members are also asked to approve the origination of one or more participation mortgage loans to assist in the large-scale multi-phase redevelopment and refinancing of the Hallett's Point development. In addition, we are asking the members to approve one or more participation agreements with M&T Bank and a to-be-determined lender syndicate to fund a 100% participation interest in the mortgage loan. Interest on the 2023 Series E, 2023 Series F, and 2024 Series A bonds is expected to be exempt from federal and New York State and local tax, and such bond series will qualify as tax-exempt private activity bonds with a combination of an allocation of new private activity bond volume cap, an allocation of recycled volume cap in accordance with the Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008, and the refunding of certain outstanding bonds or obligations of the corporation. Interest on a portion of the 2023 Series E bonds is expected to be exempt from federal and New York State and local income tax because such bonds will finance a project owned and operated by a 501c3 organization. Interest on the 2024 Series B bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York State and local income tax. An authorizing resolution will authorize the 352nd through 357th supplemental resolutions and the amendment of the 2016 Series J supplemental resolution. Members are asked to approve the origination of one or more participation loans in an amount not expected to exceed $352 million to finance the large-scale multi-phase development and refinancing of the Hallett's Point development. Upon origination, the corporation will sell a 100% participation interest in the participation loan to M&T Bank and a to-be-determined lender syndicate pursuant to one or more participation agreements. On December 22, 2016, the corporation issued the 2016 Series J bonds, which were purchased and are held by the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York, and the proceeds were used to finance the construction of the Jamaica Station high-rise. The 2016 Series J bonds were originally issued with a mandatory tender date of May 2, 2022, in the event the project did not, by such date, achieve such conversion. Substantial completion on the project was delayed due to extensive construction challenges, and the project's conversion has been delayed due to the rate of stabilized occupancy. In March 2022, to help address the delays, members approved an amendment to extend the mandatory tender date to February 1st, 2024. We're excited to report that this project is expected to convert to a permanent loan with a direct pay Freddie Mac credit enhancement agreement this December. However, in an abundance of caution and given the impending mandatory tender date of February 1st, 2024, the members are being asked to approve a second amendment to the 2016 Series J supplemental resolution to extend such mandatory tender date to facilitate a later conversion date if such an extension is needed. If approved by the members, such extension would be subject to approval by the Federal Home Loan Bank. It's expected that the above described mandatory tender date will be extended to a date no later than February 1st, 2025. It is anticipated that all or a portion of the proceeds of the 2023 Series E bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $431,815,000, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance all or a portion of the senior and subordinate mortgages for the 6 developments. In the aggregate, the developments would create 1,119 new rental homes in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. A portion of the proceeds will also be used, will provide additional financing for 255 existing units in Brooklyn, which the members previously approved. Due to the limited availability of new private activity bond volume cap, the Rockaway Village Phase 5 development is expected to receive a portion of the required financing proceeds through bonds issued in 2024. Baisley Pond Park Residences is expected to be the corporation's first hotel to permanent affordable housing conversion. The project expects to utilize HTC 501(c)(3) bonds to finance the conversion of the 12-story hotel into a 318-unit affordable residential development. For more information on these developments, please see attachments 1 through 6 in your memorandum. It is anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2023 Series E bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $59,185,000 will be used to finance or to reimburse the corporation for amounts previously advanced from unrestricted reserves to finance all or a portion of certain subordinate loans for the developments described in Attachment 9. The members have previously approved the subordinate loans for the developments described in Attachment 9 and are now being asked to approve use of the 2023 Series E bond proceeds for the financing of or reimbursement for all or a portion of the loans described therein. The issuance of the 2023 Series E bonds for this purpose will allow for the replenishment of the corporation's reserves, which can then be relent to new developments in furtherance of the corporation's commitment to the mayor's housing plan. It is anticipated that the 2023 Series F bonds, in an amount not expected to exceed $100 million, will be used as a COB to preserve tax-exempt recycled volume cap in excess of the amounts currently needed by the corporation and the New York State Housing Finance Agency, or to preserve tax-exempt volume cap. If issued, the proceeds of the 2023 Series F bonds are expected to provide construction and permanent financing for the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments, all of which are listed in the attachments in the memo, including attachment 10, and which will all meet the low income set aside required to issue private activity taxes and bonds. The mortgage loans for these developments have either previously closed with corporate funded loans that will be refinanced with recycled or volume cap bonds, or are expected to close in 2024, at which point the 2023 Series F bonds are expected to be refunded or remarketed to match the terms of the applicable mortgage loans. Most of the developments listed in attachment 10 will not be funded from the 2023 Series F bond proceeds, but all will be eligible for such financing. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the 2024 Series A and B bonds in an amount not expected to exceed $203,500,000, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance a portion of the permanent loans for two developments previously approved by the members. For more information on these developments, please see attachments 7 and 8 in your memorandum. It is anticipated the portion of the proceeds of the 2024 Series B bonds may be used for future lending. The issuance of the 2024 Series B bonds, together with an anticipated interest rate hedge that will be described by Tin Ru Lin for future lending, will enable the corporation to lock in an interest rate spread now in a rising market. Any future lending for development that has not been previously approved by the members will be presented for approval to the members prior to the making of such loan. More details on the developments as well as fees are outlined in your memorandum. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Lauren. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve Sumitomo Mitsui Banking Corporation, SMBC, as a co-manager for issuance of the corporation's bond resolutions. In July 2019, the corporation issued a request for proposal for managing underwriters, and on January 21, 2020, the members approved a diverse roster of underwriters for issuance under the HDC bond resolutions. The members also approved continued flexibility to allow any firm not then selected as an underwriter to participate in the financing if that firm makes a contribution that benefits the corporation. Such underwriter's participation shall be subject to the members' prior approvals. At the March 2019 board meeting, the members authorized the corporation to enter into one or more liquidity facilities for variable rate open resolution bonds from time to time from a bank that is on the then current list of bond underwriters previously approved by the board and meet the minimum long-term and the short-term rating requirements. Recently, SMBC, acting through its New York branch, submitted responses to the corporation's RFP for managing underwriters for issuance of HDC bond resolutions, and the 2023 RFP for liquidity facility and or other variable rate structures. SMBC is a multinational bank providing banking services to a wide range of clients. Its rating will allow variable rate demand obligations supported by SMBC to be efficiently remarketed. The capital markets and the senior staff evaluated a written material submitted by SMBC and determined that SMBC's strengths and ability would assist the corporation in its financing program as co-manager and liquidity facility provider. It is recommended that the members approve SMBC as a co-manager for issuance of HDC bond resolutions. With this authorization and a programmatic authority delegated by the board at the March 2019 meeting, SMBC would also be eligible to serve as a liquidity facility provider for variable rate open resolution bonds. The members are also recommended to authorize the issuance of the bonds pursuant to multimodal supplemental resolutions. The supplemental resolutions permits the option of causing the bonds to be issued in or converted to various rate modes, such as a fixed rate, a term rate, or variable rates, including variable rate demand obligations, VRDO, index floating rate bonds, and the proposed two new alternatives known as adjustable rate remarketed securities, or ARS, and variable rate remarketed obligations, or VRO. ARS and VRO are alternative variable rate structures that do not require a liquidity facility. Similar to the VRDO, both ARS and VRO are variable rate bonds bearing a weekly or daily rate determined and reset by a remarketing agent. The bondholders have the option to tender bonds with required notice period. Under the ARS and VRO rate mode, if bonds tendered by bondholders are not remarketed, the bondholders are required to continue holding the bonds at a step-up penalty rate until the bonds are successfully remarketed or are otherwise redeemed. Under the VRO rate mode, if bonds tendered are not remarketed after approximately 1 year, the bonds are required to be redeemed in full from open resolution excess revenue, where under the ARS, there is no requirement for an earlier than otherwise scheduled redemption. The VRO and the ARS options are being considered for use because in recent times, the capital market staff have seen higher liquidity facility costs and fewer interested liquidity facility providers. As recommended, all bonds are expected to be issued pursuant to multimodal supplemental resolutions in a mode and a structure as follows. The 2023 Series E bonds are expected to be issued as tax exempt using new volume cap, recycle cap, and 501c3 authority, with some subseries issued initially as fixed rate long-term and short-term bonds, as well as variable rate demand bonds. If the members authorize SMBC as a co-manager for issuance of HDC bond resolutions, the corporation expects SMBC to provide liquidity for the 2023 Series E variable rate demand bonds in accordance with the programmatic authority. The 2023 Series F bond, if issued, are expected to be tax exempt bonds initially in the term rate mode known as convertible option bonds or COP to preserve the recycle or near private equity volume cap. The 2024 Series A bonds are expected to be issued as tax exempt bonds initially in the fixed rate mode or pending on market conditions as variable rate bonds. The 2024 Series B bonds are expected to be issued as taxable bonds with some subseries issued as fixed rate or variable rate bonds. The variable rate bonds are expected to be issued as SOFR index bonds expected to be purchased by the Federal Home Loan Bank of New York. Further details of each series of bonds are outlined in your memorandum. Finally, the members are being asked to approve one or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not expected to exceed $166,065,000 to manage its interest rate risk relating to the remarketing of certain bonds into variable rate and or other bonds issued under the open resolution. In order to manage the interest rate risk associated with the variable rate portion of the 2023 and the 2024 bonds, the corporation is working with Monhanti Bujolo LLC, its hedge advisor, and expects to enter into one or more interest rate hedging instruments. More details on the security for bonds, risk and risk mitigations, bond ratings, and bond underwriters are outlined in your memorandum. If there are no questions, Susanna Lipside will provide the authorizing resolution.
Thank you.
Yes. And I'm probably just confused about the whole variable rate. So maybe the heart of my question is, do you have to reserve it? Because you mentioned a hedge fund, but do you have to hedge at some higher level in order to control for the variability or?
No, we could, if we enter into a hedge, we just enter for the par amount, the notional amount of the hedge, or is the same as a par amount. So if we issue 50 million of variable rate bonds, we'll enter into a swap up to 50 million. And then the swap will be based on market conditions. And we, rather than paying with the swap, we'll pay a fixed rate, and then the dealer will pay the variable rate. So that is locks in our rate. And what we're seeing now in the swap market is the swap rate is even better than the publicly offered fixed rate for certain structures. So that's why we've been doing.
So just that, Ellen, that's a fairly straightforward question and issue and structure. The other thing about it is we're kind of fortunate in ways to have this variable rate debt portfolio that we can hedge against, because it allows us to do forward commitments on things like some of the NYCHA financing at permanent that takes us to perm. So, but we've got a whole portfolio at this point. And I think you've maybe heard a little bit of that in audit as well.
Susanna.
Thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution, the issuance of the bonds, the pledge to the open resolution of any mortgage loans of the corporation, the terms of any liquidity facility, and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the amendment of the 2016 Series J supplemental resolution. The members are requested to approve the making of 6 senior loans and 6 subordinate loans for 6 developments from the proceeds of the 2023 Series E bonds and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not expected to exceed $431,815,000. The making of 1 senior loan and 1 subordinate loan for 2 developments from proceeds of the 2024 Series B bonds and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not expected to exceed $203,500,000, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the senior and subordinate financing. Members are asked to approve the origination of 1 or more participation mortgage loans in an amount not expected to exceed $352,000,000 for the Hallett's Point development, the execution of 1 or more participation agreements with M&T Bank and a to-be-determined lender syndicate to fund a 100% participation interest in the mortgage loan, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the participation loan financing. The members are requested to approve Sumitomo Mitsui Banking Corporation as a co-manager for issuances of the corporation's open resolution, impact resolution, mini open resolution, and standalone debt. Finally, the members are asked to approve the execution of 1 or more interest rate hedging instruments in a combined notional amount not expected to exceed $166,065,000, and the execution by the president or any authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to enter into said hedging instruments.
Thank you. Thank you, Susanna. I will now entertain a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to the multifamily housing revenue bonds 2023 Series E and F, 2024 Series A and B, approval of a co-managing underwriter, approval of a participation loan, amendment to 2016 Series J supplemental resolution, and approval of mortgage loans and other actions by members
described in the memo before you. I'll entertain that motion.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Fool. Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you. We move on to item number 7 on our agenda. Thank you, Tinru and Laura, Lauren and Susanna for that.
I'm going to need to recuse.
On this next item?
This next item list is a member of the acquisition.
Yes. Let the record show that recusal. It's the approval of the New York City Acquisition Fund additional senior term loan. For purpose of this item, I will call on Luke Fay.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning.
I'm pleased to present for the members' approval a proposal intended to enable a further increase in the volume of loans generated by the New York City Acquisition Fund, LLC, or NICAF, in support of minority and or women-owned business enterprises and also nonprofit developers as they seek to acquire property for affordable housing transactions. The members are requested to approve the use of unrestricted reserves of the corporation in order to make an interest-only senior term loan to the New York City Acquisition Fund, LLC, not to exceed $10 million with a maturity in December of 2026, with the possibility for one or more extensions of the maturity date, not to exceed 5 years. This investment would supplement the $15 million HDC senior term loan that the members approved in 2018, with the goal of supporting a doubling of the size of NICAF across all participating partners in order to expand its ability to serve MWBE and nonprofit developers. Created in 2006, the Acquisition Fund offers acquisition, pre-development, and moderate rehabilitation loans to experienced real estate developers of affordable housing in New York City. HDC holds a seat on the Acquisition Fund's credit committee that reviews and approves all loan proposals. Senior term lenders to the fund hold a senior position secured by the New York City Acquisition Fund and its assets. The money is used in conjunction with subordinate funds to finance up to 50% of each acquisition, with the remainder financed by loans secured by the project's assets. Further details on the terms and risks of this proposal are outlined in the memo before you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Fay.
To what extent, if any, do we receive a periodic report on the financial success problems of the various loans made by the Acquisition Fund and its results?
We have a member on the credit committee, and we're kind of in constant contact with NICAF.
To what extent does the board receive any such information? This board?
Yeah.
Probably not. And we could do that if that's something that you're interested in. We have complete access and visibility into the actions. There's only been one really troubled loan that ended up being recycled and still used for affordable housing. The market kind of rescued that one loan that got into trouble, mainly around some environmental issues. But we're happy to report out.
You could do that. I think it would be in the public interest to do so.
Sure.
Thank you, Charles. It was a good question. I think it's a good idea to have maybe an annual report.
We could do it at this meeting, or we could pick an annual meeting.
End of year meeting, maybe. Whatever the best time is.
See quarterly financial statements from the NICAF.
Mm-hmm.
See a monthly delinquency report. So there are no delinquencies, and they haven't been. Just to let you know, but we can definitely.
But we'll do something more formal. Go to Mary Hom, our chief credit risk officer.
If you can provide that kind of information, that'd be useful. This is a wonderful idea. And I want to be very clear about the fact that giving us this information will enable us to make the kind of reports that are required to be made to show that they are doing the job they are supposed to do.
Well, we just got our first annual report, Mary. Thank you. I just want to say that being on the other side of this, as agency head, when I'm not sitting here as chair,
we see the performance of this and the results of it are wonderful, as you can hear, no defaults. And it has propelled a number of new businesses into this multi-billion dollar affordable housing market that we operate in. So I like the idea and we should celebrate that. Thank you.
Can I just add to that, not to oversell it, but
please do.
No, you know, don't pitch past the but, it has been, I think, more successful than anyone imagined in the provision of affordable housing, but particularly in the provision of supportive housing. I think that was what surprised folks the most, is how useful it has become in the provision of supportive housing. So we're happy to provide that annual report.
I just think that when you get that information out to the public,
yeah,
through this agency, not just that, you have a benefit both for the entity and its loans and for the agencies involved.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, good public affirmation. So thank you, Luke, and I'll entertain a motion to approve the New York City Acquisition Fund additional senior loan term. Thank you for the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. We now move to item number 8 on our agenda, which is a presentation and approval of the fiscal year 2024 operating budget. And for that, I will call on Kathy Bowman.
Thank you and good morning. I am pleased to present the corporation's proposed fiscal year 2024 operating budget for the members' approval. The corporation ended fiscal year 23 with an excess of revenues over expenses on a cash basis of $130.35 million, an increase of $24.29 million over the budgeted amount. The increase was mainly due to higher than expected earnings on investments due to rising interest rates throughout the year. This also resulted in better than expected performance in the open resolution. Fiscal year 24 revenues are budgeted to be $176.56 million, a $24.64 million increase from the fiscal year 23 adopted budget. The budget-to-budget increase is largely attributable to an increase in investment income due to higher interest rates. Fiscal year 24 operating expenses are budgeted to be $45.77 million. This is a $90,000 or 0.2% decrease from the fiscal year 23 adopted budget. The slight decrease from the fiscal year 23 budgeted amounts revolve around certain budget lines decreasing or increasing from last year. The projected increase due to the growth in work and related growth in staff and related costs is offset by the decrease in budget line costs associated with the move to the new office space last year. The economy showed signs of improvement during fiscal year 2023. The rate of inflation has slowed, but the Fed has not signaled a halt to interest rate hikes. Despite all the uncertainty, the corporation had another successful year. During fiscal year 23, the corporation issued $2 billion in bonds, and additionally, $249 million of corporate money was committed for subsidy loans, bringing the total corporate subsidy provided over the past 20 years to $3.8 billion. Along with the bond financings, HDC's balance sheet remains strong. Total assets and net assets in the enterprise fund for fiscal year end are expected to be $24.5 billion and $4.1 billion respectively. Additionally, the corporation's work with our partner agencies continues. HDC continues to work as the key financing partner under the NYCHA PAC program. To date, HDC has contributed over $1.87 billion in financing, supporting repairs and upgrades at 41 NYCHA campuses, comprising over 14,500 homes under the PAC program. In addition to assembling the financing, HDC joins NYCHA in providing ongoing asset management to ensure the ongoing physical and financial health of the developments. Corporation also continues its longstanding partnership work with HPD, including bringing additional debt and properties into the portfolio, increased loan servicing, and working on streamlining procedures and processes to enable applicants and shelter residents to move into their new homes more expediently. Additionally, the corporation is continuing its efforts to help improve Housing Connect 2.0, with those efforts expected to increase in the upcoming year. Housing Connect is a critical resource for a large and growing number of New Yorkers looking to secure affordable housing financed by HPD and HDC. These great partnerships and concerted efforts by the agencies to increase the supply of affordable housing have continued to increase the workloads of most of the HDC staff. The NYCHA PAC portfolio, for instance, has had a significant impact on staff resources over the past couple of years and will continue as well. As some staff resources throughout the corporation are redeployed to work on the PAC portfolio, there also needs to be a backfill of additional staff to work on the corporation's business outside of the PAC portfolio. Nonetheless, it is critical that the corporation is fortified to perform at the high standards and professionalism that bestows HDC's reputation and warrants its AA credit rating. It is also critical that the corporation continues to prepare for succession planning and build on its future. Therefore, this year's budget includes an increase of 22 positions to the staff headcount, all of which are spread throughout the departments to maintain an efficient and productive workforce and work product. The fiscal year 24 operating budget that senior management proposes demonstrates the corporation's responsible and strategic fiscal planning. By containing administrative costs through operational innovations and effective managerial controls, HDC will maintain its flexibility as we reach our goals of increased productivity and maximize our contributions to the city's housing efforts. The notes in Schedule A to the budget memo contained in your packages provide more details for each revenue and expense item. If there are no questions, the members are being asked to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2024 operating budget.
Thank you, Kathy. Any questions?
Yeah, can you share some of that bounty?
For the record, the director of OMB is asking for help.
Quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you have a question?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can you explain when two staff, new staff, be added to your payroll?
Well, it's throughout the corporation, but with PAC.
Any reason for that significant increase?
It is significant for us, yes. But because of PAC, right? We have about, out of our staff is about 220 right now, about 48 people are working on PAC throughout their work during the day. And I'd say out of those, about 14 of them, 50 to 100% of their work is based on PAC. So we have to also backfill from behind. So you also have a lag with asset management. So there's going to be 9 requests for new hires in asset management related to PAC as well, because now they're going to work on the asset management of the PAC portfolio as well. And then the corporation with its other business. So, you know, it needs to expand. And with increased headcount, there's some with support services as well. So it's spread throughout the corporation. But the biggest impact is with right this year with asset management.
What do those people do?
They work.
Director, we're keeping them busy. Very busy. As you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they're busy. What are they doing?
22.
So we're happy to talk more about this as staff come online. So this is partly a planning exercise in addition to the work that we see. And so we kind of allocate, we can share over time percentages. You know, we had gotten into this partnership with NYCHA a few years ago and have constantly updated the share of time that we allocate to that. So at this point, a significant portion of our time and bandwidth goes to planning, thinking about working on and developing those. We actually closed, as the director knows, a very large NYCHA partnership deal just yesterday. And the expectation is that most of these hires will fall in the asset management world. We have recognized and the importance of growing the asset management team, not just in terms of what we traditionally think about as asset management, which might be compliance and marketing and all of those features, but keeping in mind that the NYCHA work is permanent affordability and rolling refinancings, which require us to understand in a real-time way what is happening in that portfolio. And that's true both on the debt side that Ellen and Tinru and team are managing in terms of where these maturities fall and how we think about that and some of the risk that we just mentioned on the hedging, that whole financial asset management piece of it and the rolling refinancings that are going to come through. But then secondarily, and this is more in partnership with NYCHA, but also very important here, we've beefed up our ability to look at the needs assessments, the physical conditions, to do inspections, and to make sure that we know on behalf of the city, and actually this is a conversation that board knows we've had individually with members of the board as we brief you on NYCHA, but we would like to do more of. We're in the process of renegotiating an MOU with NYCHA through City Hall, which we'll share with the director as well. So that's all happening. And we think that it's very important that not just for HDC, but actually on behalf of the city to stay on top of that, the physical needs and where that financial portfolio stands and report out on a regular basis. And I think you'll see us actually recommending some regular reporting. And behind that goes a really enhanced piece of data and analytics. We've beefed up that team pretty significantly. And as you can imagine, as we've grown the number of transactions we do, both with HPD, but also with NYCHA, and you've heard a little bit about DHS on some of the shelter stuff, we have needs to filter through legal and everyone else. So that's a broad brush view of where this is coming from. We're not looking to get to the 22 immediately, but that's the planning process.
You have now mentioned two of the most incompetent agencies of government in the United States, DHS and NYCHA. And my concern is what is being done to monitor their activities to the extent we finance them. My concern is not new, as the distinguished commissioner is aware of. I have a very serious concern as to the quality of the housing provided by NYCHA. People there are entitled to more than sardine can living, and they're entitled to a housing shelter that's appropriate. As for DHS, it's a public scandal that ought to be abolished tomorrow morning, and everybody's shipped off to some appropriate institution. But I think you have to watch that, because at some point it's going to bite us. It's clear that you are trying everything you can to do the very best job you can in the public interest. I say you being each and every employee of this agency. You are being asked to watch over and give a certification by reason of the quality of the product you generate here, a certification that those two agencies are reasonably functional. They're not. And so at some point it's going to bite us. And all I ask is add whatever people you think you need to do it. But to the extent that you are being looked to as somebody who's watching this mess, I think you need to do that kind of work. Otherwise, it's going to bite you. I guarantee you that. And you know full well.
Thank you. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think I would maybe state this a little differently than Charles just did, but I think that what he is saying, and I would agree with, is I think the asset management arm of this agency is what this board would require. If it wasn't here, I'd be asking for it in order to put that oversight where it belongs, especially on the finance side, yes, but on the physical management side, and making sure that the dollars that we're putting in here are being managed to an outcome that would be worthy of the level that Charles is talking about. So I'm not even sure 22 is enough. I have a little bit of insight into the development side and the conditions that the folks are going through PAC to achieve mm-hmm. new outcomes. There are significant issues that have to be resolved to get this occupied mm-hmm. rehab. It's no small thing. So I think you have to beef up your asset management. I don't see any other way. So sorry, it's the only.
No. The whole point of the PAC is a different model.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, I mean, the need for these resources, from my perspective, is less pronounced than under normal circumstances.
Yeah.
But one other point that I just want to clarify in my own, the rent that you have a significant job, is it because free rent that you move here? Okay.
We like free rent.
And I just direct a significant job.
Yes, sir.
Can I raise another question?
Yes.
I see in here that there is a charge being paid under the mobility tax. And my question is, would you have your counsel check as to whether we are subject to it? We are both a state and city agency, and therefore the state exemption should apply to eliminate any obligation.
We'll take a look at that. I think when it was instilled back then, they looked, but we'll double check.
You are covered?
No, we're subject to it.
They're subject to it. I think that's the increase for this year, the governor.
Even though you are by state?
Yeah.
But we will check into it.
Thank you.
And just add, I appreciate all three of those perspectives on the work that we're doing, that we're all doing. But I would add too, and I think just pointed this out, we are moving into a new mode of work with NYCHA, and there are new teams and new approaches that we are working on, and a host of different executions in order to get this to a place where it is more sustainable, is high functioning, is on this kind of revolving, transparent basis, clear where both the financing stands and what the physical conditions of those properties are. So this is a model that requires us to think differently about how we asset manage and how we approach this. And I
think that's exactly what I would ask of you to do. You're providing them finally a sense of a compass of proper service. And all I want to be damn sure is that A, you have the arms and the legs to do that job, B, that you have the full authority to do that job, and that we get to understand it, because I can tell you on the basis of a certain area of New York City that the former borough president of the Bronx is well aware of, they ain't doing a good job there.
Yeah. And just the last thing I'll point out is we're financing against strong federal contracts to do this work. So it's a really, the financing side of it is solid. The importance of monitoring and keeping it solid after the closing is the key part.
Yes, it's the asset and property management side of work that's so critical right now.
Yeah.
And with the rising costs, I mean, we're seeing it from our end, and we have working groups and teams that are constantly working with these folks to monitor and figure out new efficiencies.
And the last comment on DHS is similarly moving in a similar kind of direction around financeable contracts that are really innovative. For the first time, they're long-term financeable contracts that allow you to bring this kind of insight, oversight, and monitoring and kind of efficiency to that kind of a program. So I'm not saying all of the agencies don't have some challenges, but the portions that we're working with in these new models are fundamentally different than the experience you've had.
I will talk to you offline to show you that the way they are moving may be to the positive, but it is not only at a snail's pace, it's of an anchored snail's pace.
Thank you. And it's always exciting and colorful to have these discussions. Kathy, you didn't think you were going to stir this kind of fun with an operating budget, right?
Oh, she knew.
So I will entertain a motion based on that discussion, a motion to approve the 2024 operating budget.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Mertler. Second?
Second.
Thank you, man. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? With no opposition heard, the motion carries. We will now move, and thank you, Ms. Froman. You're back on the stage for the property disposition report.
Thank you. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the property disposition guidelines attached to the property disposal guidelines report. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act of 2005, each public authority is required to adopt comprehensive guidelines in connection with the disposition of property owned by each authority and reapprove such guidelines on an annual basis. The guidelines have not changed since originally approved by the members in fiscal year 2008. The corporation does not currently own any real property, nor did it dispose of any in the prior year, as noted in the annual property disposition report in the members' packages. After approval, the report will be submitted to the Office of the State Comptroller, the Director of Budget, the Commissioner of General Services, and the Office of the New York City Comptroller. The report will also be published on the corporation's website. There are no questions. The members are being asked to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2023 property disposition guidelines.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. Any questions? Hearing none, this is par for the course, if you will. I will entertain a motion to approve the property disposition report.
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Director. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. We move on to item number 10 of the agenda, which is adoption of the corporation's mission statement. And again, with the microphone, Kathy Ball.
Thank you. I am pleased to recommend that the members adopt a resolution and the corporation's mission statement pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act of 2005. Pursuant to the public authorities law, state and local public authorities are required to develop and adopt a mission statement and maintain it on its website. The mission statement included in the packet before you was formalized in 2006-2007 as part of the Public Authorities Accountability Act of 2005, also known as PAAA, and has been posted on the corporation's website ever since. The mission statement has also been submitted annually to the New York State Authority's Budget Office, or ABO, as part of the annual submissions required under PAAA. The mission of the ABO is to make state and local authorities more accountable and transparent, and they have asked for the corporation's most recent mission statement. Mission statement will remain the same and reads as follows. HDC seeks to increase the supply of multifamily housing, stimulate economic growth, and revitalize neighborhoods by financing the creation and preservation of affordable housing for low, moderate, and middle-income New Yorkers. After approval, the mission statement will be resubmitted to the ABO and the resolution will be posted on the corporation's website. If there are no questions, the members are being asked to adopt the proposed resolution and the corporation's mission statement.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman.
I apologize for what I'm about to say. I look forward to the day that someone will provide an intelligent, understandable, and consistent definition of the words affordable housing. Which is not the case today, although you have made great progress, Mr. Chairman, in that direction. It's a mess.
It's a moving target today.
It's a good target.
It's a good target. It keeps moving. Thank you for that report and for the comments. I will entertain a motion to adopt the resolution and the corporation's mission statement.
So moved.
Thank you, Director. Second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion carries. And we move on to the next item on our agenda, which is approval for a declaration of intent resolution related to Whitlock Point Phase 2, 1154 East 165th Street, Bronx, New York, 10459. And for purposes of this item, I will call on Lauren Connors.
As you know, declaration of intent resolutions are solely for tax code purposes, allowing any expenditures incurred by a project's developer within 60 days prior to the date the resolution is passed to be eligible for tax-exempt bond financing. Before HDC were to actually finance a project, the specifics of the transaction would be presented to the members for review and approval. Please refer to the memorandum before you entitled Resolution of Declaration of Intent Whitlock Point Phase 2, located in the Bronx, New York. The proposed development will consist of the new construction of one building containing a total of 251 residential low-income rental units to be located in the Longwood neighborhood of the Bronx. As expected, the development will use approximately $90,340,000 in taxes and bonds. The project is to be developed by a single-purpose entity to be formed and controlled by Stag Group LLC. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Connors.
Chairman. Out of an abundance of caution, I'd like to recuse.
Thank you. Let the record show that Mr. Murder has recused himself from this item. And I will entertain a motion to approve the declaration of intent, unless there are any questions. Resolution for Whitlock Point Phase 2, located at 1154 East 165th Street in the Bronx. A motion, please.
A move.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Gould, thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, motion carries. At this time, I'd like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of the HDC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, except just the item I accused on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Second.
Second.
Thank you, sir. All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Hearing opposition, the motion carries. And finally, we move to the always highly anticipated item on the agenda, which is other business. Does anybody have other business to bring before the HDC board today? Hearing no other business, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Could someone just make a motion to cover that, the item that he, that Mr. Mercer didn't, for the ratifying of the items?
Yeah.
It's just a technicality.
Sorry.
Could somebody, so to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of the HCC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee, he excluded, thank you.
Yes, second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thanks.
Motion carries. And now to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? All in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you all very much. Happy holidays.